Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, which you'll find on your book stand in the form of a copy on 8.5 by 11. And today the text is 28 from the 8th chapter, 8.28. So there's no page numbers on that packet, but you can just turn to 8.28. Starting with Manye Tvam Kalamishanam. Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Anani Nidanam Vibhum.
Anani Nidanam Vibhum.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Bhutanam Yanmitakkalihi.
Bhutanam Yanmitakkalihi.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Anadi Nidanam Vibhum.
Anadi Nidanam Vibhum.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Bhutanam Yanmitakkalihi.
Bhutanam Yanmitakkalihi.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Anadi Nidanam Vibhum.
Anadi
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Bhutanam Yanmitakkalihi.
Bhutanam Yanmitakkalihi.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Anadi Nidhanam Vibhum.
Anadi Nidhanam Vibhum.
Samam
Charantam Sarvatra. That's unlocked.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Anadi Nidanam Vibhum.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Bhutanam Yamitakali.
Bhutanam Yamitakalahi. Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Anadi Nidanam Vibhum.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra. Bhutanam Yanmitakalahi.
Manye
Tvam Kalamishanam. Anadi Nidanam Vibhum. Samam Charantam Sarvatra. Bhutanam Yanmitakalahi.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Manye Tvam Kalamishanam.
Anadi Nidanam
Vibhum.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Samam Charantam Sarvatra.
Bhutanam Yanmitakalahi.
Bhutanam Yanmitakalahi. Manye Tvam Kalamishanam. Anadi Nidanam Vibhum. Samam Charantam Sarvatra. Bhutanam Yan.
Manye.
I consider.
Tvam.
Your Lordship.
Kalam.
The eternal time.
Ishanam.
The Supreme Lord, Anani Nidhanam,
without beginning and end,
Vibhum,
all-pervading,
Samam,
equally merciful,
Charantam,
distributing,
Sarvatra,
everywhere,
Bhutanam,
of the living beings,
Yatmitaha,
by intercourse,
Kalihi,
Dissension.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
My Lord, I consider Your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end,
the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. She knew perfectly well that Krishna is the primeval Lord who lives in everyone's heart as the Supersoul, Paramatma. Another name of the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad, and thus resultant reactions are destined by Him. It is no use saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at this present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore He knows everything, past, present, and future. And because the Paramatma feature of Lord Krishna destines all actions and reactions, He is the supreme controller also. Without His sanction, not a blade of grass can move. The living beings are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. The devotees of the Lord do not misuse their freedom, and therefore they are the good sons of the Lord. Others who misuse freedom are put into miseries destined by the eternal Kala. The Kala offers the conditioned souls both happiness and miseries. It is all predestined by eternal time. As we have miseries uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked, for they are all predestined by Kala. No one is therefore either an enemy or a friend of the Lord. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. This destiny is made by the living beings in course of social intercourse. Everyone here wants to lord it over the material nature, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. He is all-pervading, and therefore He can see everyone's activities. And because the Lord has no beginning or end, He is known also as the eternal time, Kala.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Parakamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Ham Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitanscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupa Nuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Viprarambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha Namo Hinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjanapriya Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo mahavaranyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gaura tvishe namaha pancha tatvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa sharupakam bhakta avataram bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Matsarvasa Padambojo Radha Manana Mohano Divya Vrinda Ranya Kalpadrumata Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prishtali Bhisevya Manu Smarami Srimad Rasada Sarambi Vamshi Vata Tatashtitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinatha Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvare Shabanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Brindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasya Cha Vishnu Bhakti Pradi Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nasringha Jai Nasringha Jai Jai Narasringha Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Manyetvam Kalamishanam Anadi Nidanam Vibhum Samam Charantam Sarvatra Bhutanam Yat Mitakalihi My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. And in his prayers, Prahlad Maharaj says to Lord Nrsingadev that you are just like a desire tree. And whatever someone asks from a desire tree, the desire tree gives. And some people don't have the sense to ask for something decent. So they go to a desire tree and they say, you know, give me suffering, give me more burden, give me misery. Like the woman who called for the Lord when she was carrying a heavy load of sticks on her head. And she had a very lowly existence and she was suffering so much, trying to make ends meet. And one day she tripped and fell, and the wood she carried on her head scattered on the ground. And she began to pray to the Lord, please, please, please help me, please help me, please help me. So piteous were her cries that finally the Lord appeared to her and said, yes, I'm here, I will help you. She said, please, put the sticks back on my head so that I can take them further. And so the tendency of the conditioned soul is to pray for things that are not good for him, and to ask from the desire tree things that will perpetuate his suffering on and on. But it's not that the Lord is giving suffering to the living being. The living being is giving suffering to himself because of ignorance. It's because of ignorance of his actual glory and position and as part and parcel of the Lord that he asks for things that are contrary to his nature. And therefore, he may accuse the Lord later on. Why does God make me suffer? I'm having crisis of faith because now I'm suffering. And why should I suffer? He forgets that I'm perpetuating my own misery. And life after life, I'm performing misdeeds and therefore I'm caused to suffer. But the Lord is a desire tree. He does not consider the lower or the higher. However one approaches, yeyatam mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mama vart manuvartante manushya parta sarvasha. All people follow in the same path. And they're all being rewarded by the Lord according to their desire and according to their surrender unto him. Jiva, you're going to say?
So the Lord will always stick up for us.
The Lord will always stick up for us.
Yeah. Not at all. But the demons, they consider that the Lord is impartial. In fact, Hiranyakashipu himself accused Lord Vishnu of being impartial after he killed his brother, Hiranyaka. We know Lord Boar appeared and he killed Hiranyaksha, who was the brother of Hiranyakashipu, and just afterwards, Hiranyakashipu went on a campaign telling everyone, just see, Lord Vishnu says he's equal to everyone, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu, but he's favoring the devotees. And just see, he killed my brother. And of course, then he began to preach to his family members. Interesting, because he preached about self-realization. His nephews were all suffering because of the death of their father. And so he began to preach to them, to appease them, to make them feel better. And also the mother of his mother, Diti, was there. And he explained to them that actually we shouldn't lament so much with the death of a loved one, because really, what is a loved one anyway? We all come together in this life the way you'll come together when you go to a place for drinking water. Sometimes along the road in Japan, they have these springs that come right out of the ground, because most of Japan is mountainous. And therefore, there are many hot springs and all kinds of fresh spring water sources right along the road. And people pull in there off the freeway, and they'll fill up big buckets and stand and drink water for a little while, talk for a little bit, get to know each other for a few minutes. You know, hi, how are you? Where are you from? Really? Oh, nice to meet you. You know, how are you? Oh, nice children you have. Back and forth, they're exchanging, maybe, you know, exchange photographs or, you know, an email or something like that. But then they get in their car, they drive off the other direction. So Hiranyakashipu said, our lifetime is like that. We come together in some family and we think, oh, this is my family. These are my kids. This is my domain. But actually, we're only here just for a brief second. Just like at that watering hole. Everyone comes together, then they go apart, and they leave. And then he told the story of a king in Ushinara province, Suyagya. And this king from the Ushinara province, he was a valiant king, and he had many followers, and he had many wives. And he was a powerful king, and he fought in this huge battle, but he was slain in the battle. And in the midst of the battle, to show his prowess, he bit down on his lip. And in his deathly state, as he was lying with his arms broken and slashed, and his beautiful lotus-like face, which was now blackened because the soul had left the body, his ornaments of kinghood were strewn on his body, and his lip was still implanted with his teeth as he bit down in prowess as he had gone into battle and he had been killed. Now, the wives of this king, they all came and they held the body in their lap and they began to piteously lament the departure of their lord and master. And so did the citizens as well who surrounded them. And there was a wailing that could be heard so far into the universe that Yamaraj himself heard the wailing of these wives. So Yamaraj appeared, but he appeared in a form of a little boy. And he came in the form of a little boy. And as they saw that that little boy was standing there watching, they noticed that as they were crying, he was laughing. And after a while, little boy, what are you doing here and why are you laughing? Well, we're crying. Every time we cry, you laugh. Every time we cry louder, you laugh louder. What is your purpose here and why are you here? So the little boy said, now we see that you're crying for this departed soul, but you say, I don't see why you're crying. He said, he has the same mouth. The same mouth is there. The same eyes are there. The same ears are there. His tongue is there. His fingers are there. How can you say he's gone? Why are you lamenting? There's no difference. He's still there. Why are you crying? And then he said, actually, you've never seen the person. You never even saw the king. And you're lamenting for something mysterious that you never saw. Because the same mouth is there, the same eyes are there, the same ears are there, the same toes, fingers, everything is there. And you're lamenting. So why are you lamenting? What are you lamenting for? What is the difference? And he said, now you're lamenting, but you don't understand. You're next. And then he told the story of the Kalinga bird and how the Kalinga bird in the forest was very affectionate. Kalinga bird. He had two, there was a husband and wife, and they had many nice little baby Kalinga birds, little chicks in the nest. And they were very affectionate to their chicks. They were spending their time every day going out, providing a nice home. They picked up all kinds of straw and lint and whatever they could find. They made a soft little nest for the little Kalinga chicks. And then they were out one day, and there was a cruel hunter in the forest. And in the forest, he was hunting Kalinga birds. So he captured the female Kalinga bird in his net because he put food out, and she went out and she got the food. Noble cause. She was bringing it for the kids. But she got caught in the net, and she was crying piteously. Oh, help, help, help. So the male Kalinga bird came, and he heard this cry, and boy, did it wrench his heart. He was feeling, oh, I have to save her. I have to save her. And as he was prancing around the net, wondering how to save his wife, the cruel hunter came with his arrow, and he shot the male Kalinga bird and killed him. And of course, they all died. So he began to preach to these people. He said that actually it's the Supreme Lord who's supplying everything to everyone, who's protecting everyone. The baby in the womb is actually protected by the Supreme Lord. And as Prahlad Maharaj said, Tvamupekshitanam, that if someone's neglected by the Lord, how can he be safe? Balasyaneha sharanam pitaro nashringha nartasya chaganamudanvati majato no taptasya tatvi pratividir yaihanjasheshtas tvavad vibod tvamupekshitanam. He said that the child is actually not protected by the parents. Although they think they're protecting and they do their duty to protect, but sometimes the parents do everything they possibly can to protect the child, but the child dies anyway. Or the child is kidnapped, or anything can happen in this material world. Padam vadam vipadam natesham. It's a place of danger, and each living entity has its individual karma according to its destiny and according to its past deeds. And if it's time for the child to go, the parents can't stop it. They can't protect the child. So Prahlad Maharaj then says that a boat on water cannot save a drowning man. Someone may be caught in an avalanche, and they send the dogs. They send all the best avalanche squad to find the people, and they don't find them. And other times, the avalanche comes, and they're covered by snow, and somehow or other, it's a miracle, they dig out. How'd you get out of that? I don't know. It was just I saw some light. I came to the end of the tunnel. Sometimes people who are not supposed to die, they die suddenly. And other people, they're supposed to die, and they hang on for years and years. And they just live forever, practically. And no one can say. It's a mystery. It's from the Supreme Lord. So he says, the boat on water can't save a drowning man. The Titanic was supposed to be an unsinkable ship. And they made it so strong that they were so confident that there wouldn't sink, that they didn't put any life rafts on or enough for the people. And it sank on its first voyage. This is the material world. Anything can happen according to our destiny. We don't know. Any karma can come at any time from our past and take us away in one direction or the other. And then he says, medicine. You can't depend on medicine, can you? Sometimes you take the medicine and it cures you, and some people in double-blind study, other people, it doesn't do anything for them. Some people, it's placebo effect. So if you're sick, you go to the doctor and you say, can you cure me? And you say, we'll try. We'll sure try our best. And we'll sure take our money while we try, too. But they can't guarantee it. No one can guarantee anything for you except for the Supreme Lord. So Prahlad Maharaj says, it doesn't matter all these attempts we make to protect ourselves, to enrich ourselves, these things we cannot depend upon. We can only depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this material world is controlled by Kala, by eternal time. And that is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our lives are fully dependent on Krishna, and our health, our wealth, everything is dependent on Krishna. And Narada Muni says that, therefore, we should not endeavor so hard for the things of this world which are undependable and which are going to come of their own accord and which may come or not come at certain times. What is it? tasyaiva heta paryate tako vido nalabite yad brahmatam uparyada. We're wandering here and there, but you shouldn't endeavor while you're here so for things that you can't secure anyway. You can't secure your protection, and you also can't secure great amounts of wealth. It will come according to your previous karmas. It's already fixed. So, therefore, one should concentrate one's life not on this temporary body that is being loaned to us, and it's being leased. We're leasing it out, and it can be taken back at any minute. If we have an apartment and we get an eviction notice on the door, and it says 30 days, and then the sheriff is going to come and you're going to be kicked out. And then you go and fix it up. And you go to the Home Depot and you buy all the nice new things and you start fixing it up. Same thing. This body is temporary. We have the eviction notice, Krishna says, along with your birth, death is certain. You know you're going to be evicted. So why are you trying so hard to fix it up? Why are you trying to make a permanent settlement in this world? So the only wealth is, and the only real investment in this life is an investment in Krishna, in chanting Krishna's names. Everyone wants happiness, but there's only one guarantee for happiness, and that's by repeating the names of God. You have to repeat Namam. You have to repeat the names of God, says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you want to attain success in life. If you want happiness in life, you have to repeat the divine names of God. There's no good qualities in the age of Kali anyway. Even if you wanted to try to get something done in this age, it's an ocean of faults. There's obstacles at every step. All the social norms are just out the window in this age. You know, people treat each other in terrible ways in the age of Kali, and there's Varna Sanskar everywhere, and it's growing. There's wars. There's all kinds of difficulty due to social intercourse. And at sometimes, just like in the body, sometimes you get sick and you become fevered. So the world's like that. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti he kumahanguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parambrajet. It's an ocean of faults, but there's one great thing that we're lucky to take birth in the age of Kali during this time when people are very slow to understand spiritual knowledge and there's great obstacles to taking up a spiritual life. And nobody even thinks about spiritual life because we're working so hard just to maintain the paltry little existence that we get in this age of Kali. Therefore, the sages of Naimasaranya, they said, actually Suta Goswami said, Prayanal Payashashavya Kalavasminyugajana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hupadrita. In this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They're quarrelsome, lazy, unguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. And we see practically how we're building all these cars now so we can, you know, drive from here to there. And what a problem it is to maintain all these things. Now, of course, they say as a result of our unnatural, artificial lifestyle, we're polluting the earth to such a degree that, you know, ecosystems are shutting down. We're chopping down trees all over the planet just to maintain these crazy habits, meat eating, and you know, a desire for petrol and things. So the age of Kali Yuga, it's way out of balance. But there's one great thing, and that is by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We can actually cross over this ocean very easily. We can attain happiness, we get the true wealth of life, and we actually experience real happiness. And there's only one way to do that, and that's by chanting Hare Krishna. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. This is the benediction in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And we don't have to know great philosophy, we don't have to be great scholars, but anyone with a tongue, even if it's a bird or a cat or even a worm, and I'm not sure if worms have tongues, but it says in the Bhagavatam that a worm can actually become benedicted by this Sankirtan movement. This is written in Srila Prabhupada's early writings. He put in this. How merciful was Prabhupada and how big was his campaign that he was coming to America and he was thinking, anyone with a tongue, if we can just get him to say Hare Krishna, than if it's a worm or a bird. I mean, think about it. Living entities all over the universe, right now where we're sitting on this planet, how many living entities have tongues? And what are they doing with them? You know, they're either eating something to maintain themselves, some weird thing they're eating, or they're vibrating some sound. You know, usually for the animals, it's some mating sound. I used to listen to the crickets and all kinds of other things. Whoa, that's really neat. What are they saying? And then you get into the science class, go, it's a mating call. That's all it is. Every species of life. Well, what's that bird saying? Oh, it's a mating call. Practically, that's it. Or I'm hungry. I'm mating. Or I'm hungry. You know, so this is going on. Tongues, billions, trillions, unlimited tongues all over the planet right now. And they're all like either a mating call or trying to get something to eat. So the rare thing is to use your tongue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, the best of all people, someone who can just say Hare Krishna. You should offer respects to such a person. If anyone anywhere can say that, then even the mother of Lord Kapiladev, Devahuti, she said, Aho patashwa pachato garyan yajigvagre vartate namatubhyam tepustapaste juhuvu sasno arya brahmanuchur nama grananti yate. Oh, what a wonderful person, glorified person this is. You meet somebody anywhere, they can say, Hare Krishna. That person, tepustapaste juhuvu sasno arya. You look at that person, you say, they've performed all Vedic performances. They've done all sacred baths at every part of the Holy Land. They've studied all the Vedic scriptures. They know everything because they can say Hare Krishna. We're trillions and billions, billions and trillions of living entities all over the planet. They can't say Hare Krishna. Their tongue is going mating song. And they're eating some weird thing. But if they could say Hare Krishna, then they're the greatest. They're of all people, of all creatures, that person's worshipable. That person's special. So only this thing is, one thing is important. It's to repeat the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. From that, the Vedas say, all perfection comes. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadava Agni Nirvapanam. All the levels of contamination that bind us to this material world, they become slackened. The mirror of the heart becomes clean. We can see ourselves. We can see God. We can understand everything by one activity, repeating the names of God. So this is the great benediction, dispensation for this age of Kali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the holy name, and it's not anything. It's very special because in this particular Kali Yuga, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he's actually Krishna himself. When this incarnation for the age to spread the Yuga Dharma comes, normally some incarnation of the Lord comes, some incarnation of Narayan comes. But at this particular Sandhya, the Lord himself has appeared. And therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the holy name, but it's very special. That holy name is wrapped with a wreath of prema. So that name, the name that we're getting that's coming down through this disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the highest thing. It's the most powerful thing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, came to distribute it. Anarpita chirim chirat karuni yavatir nakalo samar payitumunatojvalarasam subhakti shriyam hari purata sundara Duty kadamba sandipita sadahardaya kandare spuratu vasachinandana. Therefore, he gives this benediction because the Lord has come after a long time to distribute this, what people are dying for in the material world, to get this drop of mercy from the spiritual world. He's come to distribute it to everybody. And it's available in this one form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in that form. So we've been given that mantra. We should take advantage of it, and there's no reason not to chant 24 hours a day. Or at least if the tongue is still addicted to being a little bird tongue or a worm tongue or whatever it is, and it's still, no, I want to do the mating call. And you say, okay, you do the mating call, but every day you have to do at least something chanting Hare Krishna to practice. You have to do this regulative chanting. And at first it's like medicine, and then later on it actually becomes our food, our sustenance, what actually makes us wake up in the morning, what makes us happy. So we should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, and in that way we'll attain complete perfection and go back home, back to Godhead. And in the process, our work is to distribute the holy name to as many people as possible. We should use all our God-given talents and whatever resources we have, whatever intelligence we've been given, to organize in such a way that we can distribute the holy name to everybody in Silicon Valley and everyone in the Bay Area, and give it to them in written form. These books are written kirtan, Prabhupada said. So if you get this book, people get these books, then they'll pick them up, they'll read them, they read one word, one line, their whole life will be changed. It's so powerful, these things. They may pass it on to somebody else who passes it on to somebody else, and then they become a devotee. Our very own Bhakta Daniel picked up a Bhagavad Gita in somebody's house. Went with his mother to somebody's house. He was bored. He sat down. Then somebody came in, here, why don't you read this? Picked up the Bhagavad Gita, and then he became a devotee. So this is the greatest welfare and charity work, to make this available to other people. So we have the next monthly Sankirtan festivals are coming up. This next weekend, starting on the 19th, there'll be a Harinam Sankirtan on Friday night, like the likes of which we've never seen before. Right? Be a huge Harinam Sankirtan party, hopefully with a new sound system. How long does it take to get more of those signs? You're getting already? You can get?
Yeah.
Can we get two more? With different pictures on them?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that'd be nice. And maybe what other picture? Ashrivas. Radhamana Mohan. Okay. Okay, anyway, we'll have banners, we'll have new sound system. Jagarini Mataji has agreed to make tons of prasadam, so we'll make sure that that's ready for Friday night. And then, of course, Saturday, Sunday, we have massive book distribution throughout the Bay Area. And everyone's welcome to participate in the normal ways by either joining a Sankirtan party. It's easy. They're all legal spots. Everyone can come. Or devotees can donate Lakshmi, and the devotees will go out and distribute the books on your behalf. Or there's many, many backup services, like making lunches and getting ready for all the Sankirtan preparation. We need service in many different ways. So there's lots of ways to participate. And this postcard is announcing, Chandra has completed this postcard, it's going out today, announcing that this is the next festival, is called the Monthly Sankirtan Festival of Steady Improvement. And has a picture of the six Goswamis, and has announcing our goals on the back. And so everyone's ready to go? Okay. And then, of course, just as a preview, in November, then we're going to kick into really high gear, because then we have, what date is it in November? 15th? The 5th. So it comes up fast. We've had a little break now, and everyone's anxious to get back on Sankirtan. And now we have two coming up really fast. This one on the 19th, and then another one on the 5th, which is another big one coming up. And then getting ready for the Christmas Prabhupada Marathon. 13th. Oh, okay. So the 13th. And that will be followed by the very end of November to at least two weekends in December we'll be going out. And those that are going out of town during the weekends that we're having it during December, you can go out anytime. We'll arrange so there'll be plenty of spots so that devotees can have alternative if they like. Comments? Yes, Prabhuji.
I just wanted to read this verse too.
Could Get a microphone.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to read this verse from my Bhagavatam 7.6.3 from Prahlad Maharaj. Sukham aindriyakam daitya deha yogena dehina sarvatra lakshyate daivat yatha tukham ayatmatah. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his friends. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. Mm. It's on page 238. So this is just in line with what the purport was. Maybe Prabhupada was referring to this, but we work so hard in the material world. People are working hard for happiness, and they're working hard to avoid distress. But the distress comes anyway. Without trying for the distress comes. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, the happiness will come just the same way. You don't have to try for it. The happiness will come automatically according to your past deeds. Material happiness and material distress will also come. So instead of wasting time trying to get material happiness, we should spend our time fruitfully as human beings, chanting Hare Krishna, and trying to serve the Lord. And that way we actually do something that's beneficial to ourselves.
Hare Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yadrisha Labhasantushto. And Yadrisha means things that come easily, you should be satisfied with. Learn to be satisfied with those things. And I know in householder life, in my own life, I felt that at certain times, especially when I was younger, I thought maybe I can really develop something, you know, materially. I had some fire in my belly for business or something like that, you know, that I could do big. And I actually felt like that. I felt that what's the restriction? There's no restriction. I can do anything. I could be successful, develop things. And then over time, by Krishna's mercy, I've learned that Krishna is extremely expert in frustrating one's subtle desires, especially if you continue your bhajan. If you go on with your bhajan and Krishna really blesses you, then he has a way that he'll frustrate you at every corner. And it's just enough, it may not be that he smashes everything and takes away your whole family or whatever, but he may frustrate you just enough so that you go like, I almost had it. I thought it was right there, and then it just disappeared. And at every little corner, and then you start thinking, wait a minute, Krishna, where are you? You're right. I know you're doing this. It becomes more and more aware. And if you hear Shastra, and then he's saying, be satisfied, gain that comes of its own accord, then that became a meditation for me more and more, that why not just follow this? Just be satisfied with kind of his own accord. Why not let go? More and more, just gratitude. Okay, you're going to catch me, right? You're right there. It's okay. You know, and then we have to do that. We have to learn to surrender and give up and see that actually Krishna will protect us in all circumstances and come to this life of full surrender, full dependence on Krishna. We are anyway, but there's an illusory way where we think, oh, I have to take care of myself in all these different ways and become attached to this Grihamedi life. I was talking to somebody about this the other night. There's two kinds of life and household life. One is called Grihamedi, and the other is Grihastha. And you can live in a house with a family and be completely attached in a material way. And this is called Grihamedi life, where you envy other people, and then in Grihamedi consciousness, you don't like people to come stay at your house a lot of times, because then it disturbs your sense gratification. You're thinking, oh, I wanted to do something else. Why do I have to serve this person? This is Grihamedi life. And this is how the suburbs and cities, everyone has their own little apartment. They go in and close the door, click, and then they're in there. And if you knock, you know, hey, what's going on in there? Here, take a look at this. And it's like, I'm busy right now watching television. And all these things going on, everyone has their little bubble they want to stay in. This Grihamedi life. It's very miserly. But Grihastha life means, even though we have a family, wife, children, everything, all these things, we open our mind and make Krishna the center of that. And then we're happy when a sadhu comes or a devotee or an uninvited guest might come into our house and we treat them like Vishnu and we serve them, because then we feel glad that now I'm out of my comfort zone a little bit and I'll make some advancement by this association. And more we can open our scope to the whole scheme of that every living entity is actually part and parcel of Krishna. And this house is no more mine than the great outdoors is. It's all part of Krishna's energy, although I think this is my little thing with my little mortgage and so on. So Yadrisha Labha Santushto has been a great meditation for me, trying to like step by step practice that. It's very been beneficial. Om Tat Sat, Hare Krishna. So we'll have a Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada and then Prashadam. Hare Krishna. And I wanted to say that I'll miss everybody very much. Be back at the end of November and looking forward to jumping into the December marathon, and I'll be eagerly awaiting to hear how everything's going with the Sankirtan Festival, especially next weekend and also in November, and also be going out on Sankirtan on those days guaranteed, so I'll be going out wherever I am, either if it's in Bangkok I'm taking books, and also in Vrindavan, as I told you before. So, and anyway, thank you very much to everybody. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.